Hello and welcome to Dialect. I'm Tony Gosling. Dialect's Bristol's first podcast, set up in 2001 with a Millennium Grant from the Scarman Trust. We're on Bristol Community FM 93.2 every Tuesday at noon. That's bcfmradio.com/dialect. This week we look at Jewish identity politics in the light of the anti-Semitism row, particularly in the Labour Party. We're joined by four guests. That's Ed Hill, the Secretary of the Palestine Solidarity Campaign here in Bristol. Also from Bristol, from the Ark Bar on Broad Street, is Eddie James. And from London, Gilad Atzmon, the author and jazz musician. And from Brighton, Tony Greenstein. He's been ejected from the Labour Party. Both Gilad and Tony are Jewish, so very important, obviously, to have them as part of this discussion. This recording took place at the same time exactly as the Knesset in Tel Aviv was debating the Jewish Nation State Act, what many have called a recipe for apartheid, separating Arabs and Jews. And also this week, veteran Labour MP Margaret Hodge allegedly said to Jeremy Corbyn, the Labour leader, in the House of Commons, "You're a blankety-blank racist and anti-Semite, and you don't want people like me in the party." And for that comment, she has been reported to the Labour Party, she's been investigated by the Labour Party for bringing the party into disrepute. And this is all over the definition of what is anti-Semitism. The Labour Party is refusing to adopt the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance definition, which includes criticism of Israel, the state, as anti-Semitism. Now, the police and the government are adopting that definition, and also the Parliamentary Labour Party are adopting the IHRA definition, but not the Labour Party itself, because they argue that if anti-Semitism includes criticism of Israel, that means that you can't criticise racist acts by the Israeli state. Anyway, let's get involved in the discussion. Just to recap who we're listening to. Ed Hill from PSC, Palestine Solidarity in Bristol, Eddie James from the Ark Bar, Gilad Atzmon, the musician from London, and Tony Greenstein from Brighton, who's been ejected from the Labour Party.
I'm a long-standing Jewish anti-Zionist, anti-fascist. I was one of the founders of Palestine Solidarity in Britain, and I'm a member of Jews for Boycotting Israeli Goods, and so on. I've recently been expelled from the Labour Party for quotes as part of the anti-Semitism witch hunt.
Could you say something, Tony, about that expulsion? What were you expelled for?
Well, I was suspended as part of the overall anti-Semitism witch hunt, but the actual things they expelled me for weren't anti-Semitism, because I'm quite careful never to accuse anyone of that. So I was really done for responding in kind to abuse I've received from various Zionists in the Labour Party. In a sense, I was just caught up in the general witch hunt, because I'm fairly prominent, but that's by the by. As regards Margaret Hodge today, I haven't seen the statement, but I have seen what she said to Jeremy Corbyn last night, I believe. I think this proves beyond doubt, you know, that these allegations of anti-Semitism, and it's not the first time Corbyn's been called an anti-Semite, are completely bogus without any foundation. I presume the reason she called him that was because he didn't agree that the Labour Party should adopt the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance definition of anti-Semitism. So it really is proof that if you don't agree with these people, then you're anti-Semitic. So anti-Semitism is really just a weapon to be wielded. It's got nothing to do with genuine anti-Semitism or genuine hatred of Jews. It's just another weapon in people's armoury.
You know, this definition of anti-Semitism, what is controversial about it then? Because, I mean, it must be, surely, Margaret Hodge is not going to just simply accuse, with no foundation, Corbyn of being an anti-Semite.
Oh, well, Zionists have historically repeatedly accused people without foundation of being anti-Semitic. That's nothing new. What's about the IHRA in particular, its whole purpose is to conflate anti-Zionism, opposition to Zionism with anti-Semitism, which is hatred of Jews. The two are completely distinct. In fact, most anti-Semites today are Zionists, unsurprisingly. But her purpose was clear. It was, if you don't agree with me, you're anti-Semite. I mean, the definition of anti-Semitism is very simple. It's hatred or prejudice against Jews, according to the Oxford English Dictionary. The IHRA definition is over 500 words. I mean, you don't need 500 words to define anti-Semitism.
No, look, Tony, you just said that most anti-Semites are Zionists.
Most are. I mean, if you look at the alt-right in America, Steve Bannon, Richard Spencer, the neo-Nazi founder of the alt-right and so on, they are both anti-Semites. They don't particularly like Jews, but they love Israel, and that's not surprising. Historically, most anti-Semites were very supportive of the Zionist project. I mean, Arthur Balfour, after whom the Balfour Declaration is named. I mean, he didn't particularly like Jews, but he loved the idea of a Jewish state. So, yes, you could be an anti-Semite. I mean, at this very moment, Hungary's Prime Minister Viktor Orban is touring Israel as the guest of Netanyahu. He's without a doubt an anti-Semite, but he supports Israel.
What are you doing about your expulsion from the party? And are there any grounds for you to question the way you were expelled, Tony?
I'm campaigning with other people in Labour against the witch hunt, against the expulsions and the suspensions of not just me, but many people. Mark Wadsworth, Jackie Walker, Cyril Chilsom, others. I mean, there's a continuing series of suspensions and expulsions in the Labour Party, of which I'm but one. So I'm campaigning together with other people, because it's the expulsion myself is not about me. It's really part of a campaign whose aim is to get rid of Jeremy Corbyn. There's been no doubt about that.
Will it succeed?
I hope not. I can't predict anything, but I mean, this is the main weapon in a sense. It's a weapon to be used against Corbyn. And we saw today that, you know, I mean, Jeremy himself was accused of anti-Semitism, although there's not a shred of evidence to suggest he dislikes Jews, but nonetheless, Zionists traditionally use this weapon.
Well, but he endorsed this painting, didn't he, with these people with long noses, and which was a bit reminiscent.
Have you seen the mural? I didn't see any particularly long noses. They had six bankers, two of whom were Jewish. Well, unless you're saying that all bankers are Jewish, then I don't see what was particularly anti-Semitic about their painting, if anything. It was anti-Freemason. So, no, I don't. I mean, you can differ over a piece of art or a mural, but that doesn't make you an anti-Semite. And in any case, his reasons for opposing it being destroyed were on grounds of free speech, not on whether it was anti-Semitic or not.
And what about the suspension of Ken Livingstone and the fact that he has actually resigned rather than go through a long process in the party of trying to get back in and having to appeal, that sort of thing?
Well, I regret it. I'm sorry he did resign. I think he was wrong to resign, but I can understand why he resigned, because he was under enormous pressure. But nothing he did was anti-Semitic. He simply stated facts that we all know are true, that the Zionists and the Nazis worked hand in hand. I mean, the Zionists collaborated with the Nazis. That's a historical fact. I mean, historical facts. You can't just call someone an anti-Semite for repeating them.
I'm also joined in the studio by Ed Hill, who's from Palestine Solidarity Campaign here in Bristol. What's your view of anti-Semitism, and particularly about this definition, Ed? Is anti-Semitism criticism of Israel, or is it criticism of the Israeli state, Zionism, or Jews? What is it?
Hi there. Yes, I'm the secretary of the Bristol Palestine Solidarity Campaign. Now, I confess I haven't been following this in great detail, and I've only seen the news headlines for today. But I'm aware that there has been a move by the right of the Labour Party to bring in a new definition of anti-Semitism. Tony was saying 500 words long, which is kind of enormous to sum up something in principle, very simple. And it looks like it's laying a trap. That any criticism of Israel can then be branded as anti-Semitism. And that's, of course, really, it's logically utter nonsense. But, of course, that's their project, that they want to protect Israel against criticism by just slapping down anybody who opens their mouth.
And so why has Margaret Hodge said this about Jeremy Corbyn?
I haven't been following that in detail, but I would see this all as the struggle between the right and the left within the Labour Party. I'm on the left, by the way.
Also joined by Eddie James. I mean, this is getting a bit confusing because there's me, Tony Gosling. We've also got Tony Greenstein on the line. And we've got Eddie James from ARC, which is on Broad Street in Bristol. It's how would you describe it, Eddie? I'll let you describe it.
Well, it's a community project that allows people that need a voice to the public with no restrictions. So basically, we're there for the public on matters like this. We have had Jackie Walker speaking, and a number of events, a recent event, Jeremy Corbyn, anti-Semitism, where we had Jewish Voice for Justice, and a couple of other director of PSC. So, yeah, we're pretty much part of the opening up the gates to the truth, really.
What do you make of this? And also must include Ed Hill, who's from Palestine Solidarity Campaign there. What do you make of today's statement by Margaret Hodge then about Jeremy Corbyn being anti-Semitic? And she's clearly saying that because he is criticising Israel too much.
Absolutely, and I think that's the reason. I mean, remember, it's been going on for 2 years ever since, Jeremy Corbyn got democratically elected, they've been targeting him. It's obviously that he's not necessarily pro-Palestinian. He's pro-justice for the Palestinians. I would say without any shadow of doubt, this is really about attacking Corbyn, because all these cries of anti-Semitism are overlooking the fact that Palestinians are being murdered routinely by what is a Zionist state. And the fact is that while we're talking anti-Semitism, there's Islamophobia, which is rife in this country where people have been murdered. So we need to keep perspective on this.
We had Baroness Varzi a couple of weeks ago actually saying, she's a former chair of the Conservative Party, saying that the Islamophobia is rife in the Conservative Party and they are simply not dealing with it. Now, that was hardly reported at all. Yeah, the anti-Semitism scandal seems to be enormous.
Yes, because the investment, from what I'm told, a good 80% of all Jewish people support the State of Israel. So obviously there is a fair amount of kind of resistance to Jeremy Corbyn getting into power. That's totally understandable. And but I think really it's a disgrace, to be honest. It's a disgrace for the Labour Party, for the Jewish movement, because basically what they're doing there, they're downgrading anti-Semitism as a word. It's a dangerous path there. It's crying wolf when there is no real wolf. And I think, and at the expense, whose expense? Freedom of speech and the Palestinians. So I'm really horrified at what's happening. And I personally would say, as a Labour Party member, that these members that are attacking Corbyn just because he's pro-Palestinian or pro-justice Palestinian, they should be booted from the party.
In a similar way to some of the people being accused of anti-Semitism.
Totally agree.
We're also joined on the line by Gilad Atzmon, the jazz musician who has also written about Jewish identity politics. I wonder if you can start, Gilad, by just commenting on the remarks of Margaret Hodge today, accusing Jeremy Corbyn, her leader of her party, of being an anti-Semite, because it does seem as if comments like this are designed to make people think that the leader of her party, who is supposed to be the leader of the opposition, etc., is being potentially anyway undermined by his own MPs who are trying to associate him with the Nazis.
All right, so since I'm not really a political commentator, I'm operating more as a philosopher, I will provide you with some elementary observations that are becoming more and more popular, some of them attributed to me. First, in the old days, anti-Semites were the people who ate the Jews. Nowadays, anti-Semites are the people the Jews ate. Now, this is a very important transition to understand. Now, the entire anti-Semitism debate proves to us how significant Jewish power is in the West, and especially in Britain, within our media, in politics, and yet, organizations like the PSC, like Tony Greenstein, who just, individual like Tony Greenstein, whom we just heard, and even the Labour Party are not willing to tackle this issue of Jewish power, Jewish identity, anything to do with the J word. And this leads us to a far deeper understanding of this entire discourse. Israel, as we all know, this is not Gilad Atzmon, Israel defines itself as the Jewish state. If you understand what Israel stands for and what inspires its politics and its criminality, we have to ask ourselves, who are the Jews, what is Judaism, what is Jewishness, and how these terms relate to each other. Now, if you will read the Labour new definition, you will find out that it is, as somebody mentioned now, 500 words, it's 3 pages, it's a legal document, and it definitely prevents people from looking into this issue. So the Labour Party is struggling with this issue of anti-Semitism, but its solution so far is embarrassingly lame. And why? Because the fact that we have to fight racism is clear to many of us. Racism and bigotry are very simple terms. Racism and bigotry are when you discriminate X for being X. X could be women, can be gays, can be Muslims, can be Jews. However, when it comes to Jews and anti-Semitism, we are producing more and more legal documents and definitions. And the fact that the Labour adheres to it or subscribe to it or surrender to this moronic attitude actually suggests that in the eyes of the Labour, Jews are somehow special. And this suggests that the Labour doesn't adhere anymore to a concept of universalism that led this party in its early days.
Now, look, Gilad, your assertion there that Jews have this power greater than any other organisation of some sort, that itself would be seen by many as a racial slur.
Okay, but as you probably noticed, I didn't speak about Jews. I didn't refer to them as a race. I was referring specifically to political power, and this political power is something that we are seeing on a daily basis. More embarrassing is the fact that yesterday, the chief rabbi of Britain, together with another 68 rabbis, wrote a very strong letter to the Labour Party. So it is clear to us now that there is no really a clear dichotomy between Jews, Judaism, Zionism, and Israel, because those religious bodies that are supposed to maintain a rabbinical legislation and a Jewish pious life and so on are involved directly in politics in this country on behalf of Israeli interests. So I believe that in order to address your question, we have to ask, who are the Jews? As I said, are the Jews race? I don't think the Jews are race. A lot of people don't believe that they are race. However, many of us agree that Jewish politics is more than often racist. And this is exactly the problem. This is exactly the problem. And this is why we have to understand Jewish identity, Jewish politics, Jewish culture, and to start to address these issues. And it is way beyond Zionism. The people who are interfering with our freedom to think, the freedom to express ourselves, are sometimes Zionists, But like the case of Tony Greenstein or even elements within the PSC, they are supposed to be anti-Zionists.
Let me just ask you one other thing, Gilad.
They have been tossing the accusation of anti-Semitism on other very good people for years. They were actually doing they were taking care of the job that is now taken care of by the CIA and other organizations.
Now look, what about your accusation about the media being controlled by Jews? This sounds like the sort of thing that was coming out of the propaganda ministry of Nazi Germany.
This is exactly a question that should be handled in the open. If I'm wrong, you know, so by the way, I'm entitled to be wrong, but if I think that in the case of media not addressing what is really happening in this country and not looking into the lobbies that are pushing, in our case, the Labour Party, this is what we are talking about today, or terrorizing DJs in the BBC when they don't say, or presenters in the BBC when they say something that doesn't fit with them, and they're usually successful with it. The fact that the media is not dealing with these issues suggests to us that there is a power. Now, is it Jews? Is it power that is driven by a racial category? I never said it. I've never referred to Jews as a race because I don't believe that Jews are race, and my entire work suggests that it's not a racial issue, it's a cultural issue. It's a cultural issue, and I try to identify what are those cultural fundamentals. I've never been accused of referring to Jews as a race.
Now, Gilad, I think the best thing we can do now is to let Tony Greenstein respond to what you've just said there. Tony, you're being accused there of effectively being a kind of lobby for the Israelis, at least in the past.
Well, yes, this is the absurdity of what Gilad Atzmon has said. I must say that just because 99% of the time Zionist accusations of anti-Semitism are false, it doesn't mean in the case of people like Gilad, the 1% isn't correct. I mean, even a stopped clock is right twice a day. And in the case of Gilad, it's an anti-Semitic analysis. It has nothing to do with Jewish power. Jews as a collective do not operate or exercise power. What we are seeing is the power of the Western state, Western imperialism. That's why, as I made quite clear, it's often the most anti-Jewish elements in society which are most supportive of Israel, whether it's Trump, whether it's Bannon, whether it's Viktor Orban, whether it's Marine Le Pen, etc. People who are often deeply racist when it comes to Jews as well as Muslims also support Israel. It's about the kind of society Israel is. And you will not understand Israel by saying it's something to do with Jews. Yes, Israel calls itself a Jewish state. South Africa called itself a Christian state, but it wasn't Christian any more than Israel is Jewish, because Jewish identity can take many forms. And the argument about whether it's a Jewish race is absolutely a nonsense. So what? Races do not exist, never have existed. But that doesn't mean racism doesn't exist. And Gilad Atzmon, by actually locating this, what Israel does in terms of some blame attached to Jews as individuals, is clearly going down that path. What Israel is doing to the Palestinians, and what it has done, is a result of it being a settler colonial state. It's no different from what South Africa did, from what happened in Australia, America, and so on. All of those societies were barbaric. In many cases, they wiped out the indigenous populations. It wasn't because they called themselves Christian or white or anything else. It was because of the way those societies were structured. And that's how you have to understand Israel. If you look into Israel is Jewish, therefore you have to analyze the Jews to understand Israel, you're actually looking down the telescope the wrong end. That will tell you nothing, apart from the fact that many Jews, of course, oppose the Israeli state, like myself. But to Gilad Atzmon, whether you're Zionist or whether you're anti-Zionist Jew, you're all lumped in together. And if that's not a racist categorization, I don't know what is.
Gilad?
Okay, this is a very important discussion now, because it is quite clear that Tony Greenstein, despite the years that he spent on this discourse, still doesn't understand the difference between Jews, the people, Judaism, the religion, and Jewishness, the culture, the ideology. This is why he makes a comparison between Israel and South Africa, assuming that South Africa is a Christian state. We are not, Israel is not the Judaic state, it is the Jewish state. Now, in order to understand, Jews are people, and we tend to believe the Jews are innocent. Judaism is a religion, and we tend to believe that Judaism can be innocent. As a matter of fact, the most sincere and active body of Jewish anti-Zionists are Torah Jews, who are Orthodox Jews, who are inspired by Judaism. I'd argue Israel is not the Judaic state, it is the Jewish state. This is why we have to understand, this is what I try to delve now into, the difference between Jews, the people, Judaism, the religion, Jewishness, the ideology, and the culture. Now, what is Jewishness? Jewishness as culture and ideology is not a simple concept, but it is concept that adheres to chosenness, to a certain kind of exceptionalism, whether this exceptionalism appears as Judaic, sometimes it does, or like you look at the settler and messianic settlers, it can also appear as the Jews who think that they are very special because they are Bolsheviks, or Jews that think that they are very special because they are neocons and they want to liberate other people for Israel in the name of Coca-Cola. Now, if Tony Greenstein doesn't understand that it wasn't Bannon or Le Pen who were instrumental in his expulsion from the Labour Party, so I don't think that anyone can help him. The people who expelled him from their party are people who were operating as Jewish pressure groups. They don't operate as Israeli or Israeli pressure group. I don't have any doubt in my mind that they are Zionists and they support Israel, but they operate as Jewish pressure groups in our midst. These are the people who are mounting pressure on the labor, on the media. Now, they, and this is my contribution to this discourse, and I am happy to say that the more we progress into this battle on anti-Semitism, more and more people see that actually I wrote about it already 20 years ago. The people who identify politically as Jews is the core of the problem. It's not a problem if you, and this is really the crux of my argument. It's not because you identify as a Jew because your mother is Jewish. It's not because you identify as a Jew because you go to the synagogue every Saturday. It is once you identify politically as a Jew. And why it is a problem? Because despite the fact that Jews are not a race, people who identify politically as Jews subscribe to politics that involve racial orientation. So Tony Goslin, for instance, I assume that you are not a Jew. You will never be the secretary of Tony's Jews for Palestine. And why? Because you are not racially qualified. The problem is Jewish culture and people who identify with Jewish politics. This is the issue. And this is why I indeed find a continuum between Tony Greenstein and the most vicious campaigners against anti-Semitism.
Let Tony come back, because you've been making a lot of accusations against him there, Gilad. Let's just hear what Tony's got to say. And maybe, Tony, if you could address the point that Le Pen had nothing to do with your expulsion out of the Labour Party.
I didn't say that Le Pen or Viktor Orban, or the Polish Prime Minister, or indeed Donald Trump had anything to do with my expulsion. But nor was it a product of Jewish politics and Jewish power that led to my expulsion. It was the right of the Labour Party, people like Tom Watson, Sir Keir Starmer, who welcomed my expulsion, and others who were not Jewish, but who were on the right, and who support Israel because they see it as the watchdog, the guardian of Western imperial interest. And so what Gilad said, delving into what is Jewish power, Jewish culture, Jewish this, it's absolute nonsense. Jewish culture has changed over the centuries. Jewish identity has changed. Indeed, the Judaism, I never mentioned Judaic, incidentally, never heard it cross my lips, but Judaism itself has changed because the Jewish religion, the Jewish Orthodox, fiercely opposed Zionism when it first came about at the end of the 19th century. Today, Jewish Orthodox anti-Zionists are a distinct minority. Now, what Gilad said, why it's anti-Semitic, is he says it doesn't matter what your politics are, whether you oppose Israel, as I do. I'm a strong supporter of the Palestinians, always have been. I spend most of my time on that campaign. He says, because I'm Jewish, I am no better than Netanyahu and the people who support him. And if that's not racist, well, what isn't racist? Of course it is. It's also absurd. And he talks about the chosen people. Well, this concept of a chosen people, a master race, isn't just common to Zionism or unique to Zionism, is it? I mean, we had it in Nazi Germany. We have it in every settler people. The British in India, they also, in the Raj, they thought they were superior. Every group that occupies, every state that occupies another state, another people, do it on the basis they believe they are more civilized. So it's nothing unique. So you can look at the Jewish culture, but you know Jewish culture is not static. Nothing in this world is static. It changes. The Jewish people have changed. They've changed historically from being on the left today to being predominantly on the right. Most of them, I mean, the people who supported the Bolshevik Revolution that Gilad mentioned, I mean, 50% of the revolution who were arrested were Jewish. Today, very few Jewish people are on the far left. So there's a transition. The Jewish people have changed, society changes. Unfortunately, Gilad doesn't change because he adopts the same anti-Semitic tropes and metaphors that historically have got people into trouble. The fact is that you can be anti-Semitic, but all you do is you play into the hands of the Zionists. You actually prove that the Zionists are correct. And actually, Gilad Atzmon is the best gift to the Zionists that they could possibly want because he completely misses the point. But it is indeed the non-Jews, the right-wing evangelical Christians, who support Israel and who support Zionism. If you look at the United States, the fiercest pro-Zionist lobby is not Jewish. Jews are divided about Israel today. It's actually the right-wing evangelical Christians. But of course, that's embarrassing to Gilad because it doesn't fit with his thesis.
Okay, Tony, let's let Gilad come back there because you've been Gilad, you're being accused there of actually helping, aiding the Israeli state by fueling hatred.
I'm interested in truth, and this is the only guideline in my entire philosophy. But let's kind of deal with what is Tony is saying here. Tony is absolutely right. Jewish culture is changing all the time. Even Judaism is changing. The one thing that is not changing is Jewish exceptionalism. And Jewish exceptionalism is taking many faces, and it is changing all the time. For instance, Zionists see themselves as very special people because they changed the Jewish faith according to their philosophy. And Jewish anti-Zionists also feel very special because they oppose Zionism. The one thing that is always maintained is Jewish exceptionalism. And Jewish exceptionalism indeed has many, many faces. Now, the problem with Tony is not that he is Jewish or he was born a Jew or a son of a rabbi. The problem that I find with Tony is that he identifies politically as a Jew. The first meaning of it is that you, Tony, cannot join his club because it's a club that is racially oriented, and we already saw that even in the labor anti-Zionist kind of operators, apparently people couldn't join because they were not Jewish. So these people are actually operating in racially oriented bodies. They think in racial terms, and they accuse everyone else of being racist. This, in psychology, is called projection.
Okay. What we okay. Let Tony directly answer that one. Tony Greenstein.
Again, I'm afraid it's absolute nonsense. He's referring to groups like Jews Against Zionism, Jews for Boycotting Israeli Goods. These are not racially oriented groups. They're political groups which are set up by Jewish people in order to oppose Zionism and to support the Palestinians. And they're welcomed by Palestinians for a very simple reason, that Zionists claim that all Jews support Israel and support Zionism. Therefore, it's important for those Jews who do not do that to speak out as Jews. And whether it's called Not In My Name, If Not Now in America, or Jewish Voices for Peace, or whatever you call it, the fact that Jews get together to support Palestinians and to oppose Zionism should be welcomed, not opposed. It has nothing to do with racial orientation. I find it amazing that Gilad says, well, nothing I say is about race, and yet here he is accusing us of being racially oriented. I'm sorry,
you are racially oriented.
I'm not racially oriented. I'm politically oriented.
You're operating in a body that is racially oriented.
Because as you said, Jews are not a race. So how can it be racially oriented?
This is exactly the thing. You are not a race, but your politics is racially oriented.
No, it's not.
And by the way, the same thing is said about the Nazis.
Oriented in an anti-Zionist direction. Nothing more. If Jews get together in order to oppose Zionism, that's not because they're Jewish, it's because they oppose Zionism.
Okay, listen, Gilad, one of the things that you said, Gilad, just a minute, you've had your say, the settler colonialism, you say Israel is not about settler colonialism, but it does certainly on the surface seem to be, and we've had the settlers being protected by the Israeli Defence Force, and peaceful protesters who are trying to make a point about the land being shot dead by them. So there's surely there is settler colonialism going on there.
In order to explain my criticism of Israel being regarded as settler colonialism, it will take me a minute. We all agree that Israel performs some symptoms of colonialism and settler colonialism. Nobody doubt it, but you know, sometimes when people have, you know, God forbidden, brain cancer, it can appear as symptoms of sinusitis. So our job as intellectuals is to identify not the symptoms but the disease. And I argue colonialism is a very simple structure of exchange between a mother state and a settler state. In the case of Israel, we see a settler state, we don't see a mother state. Now, when I came up with this criticism, some historians decided that they have to save their model, and then they decided to talk about settler colonialism. Settler colonialism takes place when superpower A mobilizes, like let's say Britain, mobilizes ethnic minority B, let's say Scots, to land C, let's say Ireland, on the expense of indigenous population D. In the case of Zionism, it was the Jewish Zionist bodies that mounted pressure and negotiated and managed to get Balfour Declaration. It was Zionist, which is group ethnic minority B, that mounted pressure on A, a British Empire. So eventually they managed to secure themselves a national home in Palestine, see, and on the expense of the Palestinians. So while settler colonialism is a clear chronical order of A, B, C, D, in the case of the Zionism, we are dealing with B, A, C, D. Now, what I argue that there is no precedent to the Zionist project. In the history of humanity, we are not aware of people coming to a place after 2,000 years and tell the indigenous people, listen, you have to move. We have been there before. When? 2,000 years ago. How do you know? We have a book. This has never happened. Now, a lot of people, like the PSC and other people who want to secure their job in universities, because it is a very dangerous topic, insist to present Zionism in the light of an historical involvement that is familiar to us. This is why we like to talk about apartheid. It's not apartheid. It is way worse than apartheid. Or colonialism or settler colonialism, because it suggests that we know what we are talking about, but we are not. In order to understand Zionism, we have to understand what happened to Jews in Europe. We have to understand Jewish assimilation in Europe in the 19th century. What were the philosophies that evolved out of this assimilation process? What is the role of chosenness, this exceptionalism? What is it that led Zionism in the early days? Now, Tony was very close to mention it. You know, we can talk about all the anti-Semites who were supporting Zionism. The truth of the matter is that the early Zionists themselves, we can talk about Bohov and Katzenelson and Brenner and Herzl, and some would even say Jabotinsky, were themselves very anti-Semitic. They saw a lot of wrong in diaspora Jews. In fact, they were totally against what we see now in Britain, and they said, we cannot control the life of Goyim. We have to take the Jews away and to reinvent a new Israelite, new Hebrews, to make sure that we become people like all other people. The early Zionist project was a promise, and it sounds awful, but it's not Gilad Atzmon. This is how they saw it, to civilize the Jews, to make them people like all other people. And this project in itself can be regarded by many as anti-Semitic.
I don't disagree for once with Girard that Zionism is a form of Jewish anti-Semitism, and the early Zionists, not just the early Zionists, we see that with Netanyahu and Orban and others today, accepted everything the anti-Semites said. The anti-Semites said that Jews had certain asocial characteristics, they couldn't live with them, and they wanted to therefore expel them. And Zionism, which was quite unique amongst Jewish people, said, yes, we agree, Jews are asocial, Jews do things which are not very nice. So yes, Zionism accepted the whole anti-Semitic thesis about Jews, and therefore agreed with them that Jews did not belong in those societies. However, the Zionists were a tiny minority of Jews overall in the diaspora up and until the Holocaust. So I don't take my lead from them at all. But I diverge from Gilad, because what he says is that Zionism and Israel is not a settler colonial state. And although I didn't catch all of what he said, I think the gist was that Zionism that settler colonialism historically does not have a mother country. Well, even if that were true, and I think there are clearly unique features to Zionism, that doesn't therefore mean it's not settler colonialism, because settler colonialism is colonists going out to a country, settling down on the land, displacing the indigenous population, and either, as in South Africa, exploiting their labour, or in Israel, excluding their labour, or as in Australia and the United States, a combination of either exclusion or extermination. Settler colonialism differed depending on the country it was. But if we look, for instance, in the United States, there was no mother country.
There was a mother country. Britain was a mother country.
In the 18th century, they had a rebellion against Britain. So they were on their own, but they were still settler colonials. In South Africa, who was Britain, the mother country? Most of the Afrikaners didn't come from Britain. They came from Germany or Holland or wherever. So yes, there are unique characteristics, but we look at not the so-called mother country, not who was supporting them, but what the settler settler colonial, the colonists, actually did when they arrived in that country where they were occupying, what kind of society they created, how they displaced the indigenous population, the Palestinians in this case. And through that, we see quite clearly that with the settlement on the West Bank, they are, it is a former settler colonial.
Okay, Tony, we would hope that our mainstream press would be able to at least make these discussions and debates in public.
Well, it's quite clear that the mainstream press, including, of course, The Guardian, has been 100% behind the false anti-Semitism allegations which have been made in the Labour Party. The Daily Mail, The Express, The Sun, they've all been so concerned about what they term anti-Semitism, which is remarkable, because I mean, The Sun and The Mail were papers that employed Katie Hopkins, which have historically been anti-refugee, anti-asylum seeker, and racist papers in their own right. But when it comes to anti-Semitism, apparently they're very concerned, and the reality is that it's not been about anti-Semitism, it's been about Israel, and that's what the IHRA is, twisting and trying to conflate opposition to what Israel does with anti-Semitism, and that's what the IHRA definition was about. So all of this nonsense has really been about getting Labour to support American foreign policy, and for America, Israel is its strategic watchdog in the Middle East, and that's really at the end of the day what it is about. And my expulsion was not because of Jews, was not because of anti-Semitism, it was because I was an anti-Zionist, because I represented an opposition to what historically the Labour Party has stood for, which is it was traditionally a party of empire, just like the Tories.
I don't hold my breath for British media to recover in the near future. I believe that Tony is wrong. It is not America. I see America is as an Israeli colony for more than a while. And it's quite tragic for many Americans as they come to realize now with their new president. I believe that the battle is way more sophisticated, and I talk about it in my work. I realize that it is indeed beyond Jewishness and Goyim or Brits or West. We are dealing with a very serious battle between Athens and Jerusalem. Athens represents the root of our culture, the birthplace of philosophy, of science, of rationality, of reasoning. And Jerusalem is the city of revelation, where we take things for granted when we don't ask questions, when we follow a tyranny of correctness. Now, Jerusalem is not necessarily Jews. Jerusalem is a perception of being in the world. And unfortunately, if some people, actually quite a few philosophers, have seen the history of the West as a battle or even dialectic relationship between Athens and Jerusalem, between the freedom, the reasoning, the science, and the tyranny of correctness, it is very clear that the West is now under the invasion of Jerusalem. And this is why the liberation of all of us is long overdue, but it is going to be a very, very difficult battle. But the most important thing is to identify the problems. I come back to them to the same issue. Rather than people telling us what to say, how to say, how to think, what words not to say, I say if Israel is the Jewish state, you ask what who are the Jews, what is Judaism, what is Jewishness. If people don't let you use some words or some terms or to think in a certain way, you ask who are these people? Why do they try to stop me? Who are the people who try to stop the labor? Tony said something, and he was correct. He was correct. It is not the Jews within the labor who are implementing or are instrumental in all those tyrannical attitudes. And indeed, once we start to understand, to learn Jewish culture, we start to learn about the notion of the Sabbos Goy. The Goy, the Gentile, who serves the whims of the Jew on Sabbath. And this is a notion that has been translated into Western politics in the last 30, 40, or 50 years. Maybe Balfour was the first one. So we are talking about actually exactly 100 years. We have to engage in study, in tolerance. We don't want Tony Greenstein or the PSC or bodies within the labor or Zionist bodies to stop us from thinking freely, independently, and authentically. Our freedom is the roots of Western culture, and we have to fight to reinstate Athens in our midst and to reject Jerusalem. That's it.
Listen, Gilad, you've been accused. If anyone looks you up online, you'll find there's a lot of people accusing you. And the quote, I believe, is a correct one, saying that Hitler was right about the Jews.
No, it's absolutely not a correct quote. What I actually said, I don't have it in front of me, but I can provide you and your listeners, and if you put it on YouTube, I will provide you with the page. What I say in my paper is that if Israel won't start to take some clear measures and become slightly more careful and push us into this global war with Iran that can easily evolve into nuclear war, some people, and we see, for instance...
Sorry, Gilad, can I help you out here? Because I've got the exact quote here.
Okay.
And this is from your book, The Wandering Who, page 179. We, for instance, you say, can envisage a horrific situation in which an Israeli so-called preemptive nuclear attack on Iran escalates into a disastrous nuclear war in which tens of millions of people perish. I guess that amongst the survivors of such a nightmare scenario, some may be bold enough to argue that Hitler might have been right after all. I mean, did you write that deliberately to be provocative?
Continue reading, please.
That's your book, The Wandering Who.
No, continue the next sentence.
Then the next sentence is, the above is obviously a fictional scenario, and by no means a wishful one.
The entire sentence.
The next paragraph starts, the above is obviously a fictional scenario and by no means a wishful one, yet such a vision of a possible horrific development should restrain Israeli or Zionist aggression towards Iran.
Thank you so much. So I'm not saying that Hitler was right. I'm saying if Israel is not starting to behave responsibly, it will lead to a situation where some people may regard its action as little, and will see a continuum of a Jewish evil. And our job is to prevent it. My job as a writer is to deliver the message to you, to Greenstein, and to Israel.
Tony, do you think that Gilad has been taken out of context when people say that he quote him and actually don't put the rest of the sentence in there when they say Hitler was right about the Jews? That does sound like a totally pro-Nazi, anti-Semitic statement. But in context, would you agree what he's saying is justified or not?
No, I don't think what he said is justified. But I think, I said before that he looks down the telescope at the wrong end. I mean, he has, for example, said that Jewish behaviour was responsible for the Holocaust, and it's that same behaviour which manifests itself in how Israel treats the Palestinians, which was outrageous. I can't remember which essay he wrote that in, but I've always said there is no connection at all between the persecution that Jews faced in Europe and the persecution that Palestinians face under the Israeli state. It was Primo Levi, who himself was deported to Auschwitz, who said that the Palestinians were the Jews of the Middle East, that just as Jews had faced persecution because they were a very easy target, a very easy scapegoat for the ruling classes who wanted to divert the anger of the masses, you know, things like unemployment and so on, onto them. So the The same happens with Palestinians today. They are the object of hate. They are the scapegoats inside Israel and outside Israel. They are made to appear to be to blame. For instance, when wildfires started in Israel last year, the first people to be blamed were Palestinians and Israelis accused of arson. There was no evidence whatsoever. So I think Gilad, again, because he doesn't have any materialist or socialist understanding of these things, sees it in racial terms. He denies he does, but it's clearly the case. I mean, all this cultural nonsense derives from what he calls the Jewish people, however it is. I mean, I think he's the other side of the coin of Zionism, to be quite honest. He accepts much of what the Zionists say. He just turns it on its head, or he tries to turn it on its head. The reality is that there's nothing that Israel does which is Jewish specifically, because do you define...
Yeah. As you probably noticed, you asked Tony Greenstein a simple question with a clear text, and he couldn't address it, and then produced a quote that I don't know where, you know, it's not a quote, it's kind of a reference, it's something that I say that I cannot really think where I said it. What I do say, and I'm, by the way, based it on the study of Bernard Lazar, who wrote a very interesting book on Jewish history, and he was, by the way, an early Zionist. Bernard Lazar looked into the history of the Jews, and he realized that they were really expelled from too many places, more than anyone else. That Jewish history is a chain of disasters. And he was very brave to ask why. Why? And we must ask why. And I'm sorry to say it, that what I see in Israel is a recipe to disaster, and I hope not, but it's already disaster for the Palestinians for many years, and it will eventually will be a disaster for the Jews, and many Jews understand it and run away for their life. And I think that what we see in Britain is very, very dangerous for the Jews, and by the way, a lot of Jews understand it. And one final comment about what Tony Greenstein said. I didn't mention today once race. I never in my life referred to Jews as a race, as a biology, as an ethnicity. Needless to mention that I've never been expelled from any party. And needless to mention that despite the fact that my book is published all over the world, as well as, and you know, it is sold in Israel. Actually, I have to sell Wandering Good to Palestine in the next few days. I've never been questioned once about anything I've ever written or said, because not only that I don't see Jews as a race, I oppose to any form of racism, not against Jews and not against anyone else. I uphold a universalist perception of racism. You will never, according to my book, allowed to be criticized or discriminatory toward whoever to be whatever. Whoever, I mean, X for being X. Women, gays, Jews, Muslims, black, and so on, and not even jazz musicians. And this is a principle that guides my work. I do believe that politics, ideology, and culture must be subject to criticism, and this is what I'm doing. I'm criticizing politics.
Okay,
I'm not a political
Gilad, okay, so
I criticize ideology and I criticize culture. I look into the roots of Israeli behavior, of Jewish lobby operations around the world. And by the way, I learned a lot about Israel from the Jewish anti-Zionist, whom I see at large as a control opposition front.
Let's just go round once and answer what I suppose is a question which many people in the Middle East ask, is if Israel continues to behave the way it is behaving towards the Palestinians, effectively a form of genocide, does it have the right to exist? So I'll ask you that first, Tony Greenstein.
Does Israel have a right to exist? it doesn't have the right to exist as a racist or an apartheid state. No, it doesn't. It has the right to exist as a democratic state of all its citizens, but not as a Jewish state, which is what it is at the moment and is how it defines itself. It bases itself on a section of its own population and also calls itself a state of Jews wherever they live. And clearly, it has no right to do that. So it should be a democratic state, not a Zionist and not a Jewish state. And in that sense, I mean, the solution clearly is one democratic secular state in the whole of Palestine.
But is that likely? Is it possible?
I don't think there's actually any alternative. The two-state solution is clearly not feasible. I don't think it's desirable either. But until you have that, you'll have a state which is increasingly aggressive, which is forever expansionist, which cannot settle down, which has a permanent state of emergency, which will eventually try and transfer, that is, deport the Palestinians who exist within its borders over the Jordan. I think that is a matter of time in the end, or they will be forever subjugated. Take your choice. Either way, Israel is not a natural state. It cannot exist and continue to exist as it is. And that's what all these battles are about, the IHRA and so on. It's about what kind of state Israel is and how long will the Western powers tolerate their spoiled brat behaving as it does. And that's the only issue. And that's why when people like Margaret Hodge allege Jeremy Corbyn is anti-Semitic, what she's really saying is he refuses to accept the racism of that state and needs to give support to the Palestinians. And however muddled and misguided a way sometimes that he does that, I think he has made far too many concessions to the Zionist lobby inside the Labour Party. And people like Margaret Hodge should be called out for what they are, and that is they are racist, without a doubt.
Gilad, what's your thought about whether Israel should have the right to exist if it carries on with this genocidal policy?
You know, I'm not a guy who sees himself important enough to say who has the right to exist and who doesn't. This is kind of a God's task. What I would say, I am in total support of all people celebrating their symptoms collectively. The problem starts when people celebrate their symptoms on the expense of others. Yeah? And this is exactly what we see in the case of Israel. They want to have a Jewish homeland, Jewish national home, and so on and so on. It's fine. But the problem is that they've done it on the expense of the Palestinians. It is not down to me to say what kind of a solution will... I'm not living there. I left Israel. I never visited since I left. I'm not a Jew. I'm not in a position to say what will happen there. What should happen there. But what I would say, I am in 100% support of full right of return for the Palestinian people to the land that belongs to them and to them only, as far as I'm concerned. Now, there are a lot of issues with people like myself who were born there. You know, my parents were born there. When it comes to my father, it's kind of a few generations in Palestine. And these issues will have to be resolved. And I guess that the facts on the ground will determine what will happen there. What is already clear to us now is that there are more Palestinians between the river and the sea, between the Jordan River and the Mediterranean Sea. Obviously, this doesn't mean a lot, but it is just a question of time before Israel becomes Palestine. And I really hope that this transition will be peaceful. But again, I don't hold my breath.
Thanks, both of you. Now, can I ask you, Ed Hill, if you can sum up what you think of what you've heard from Gilad, and also whether you think that that Israel has a right to exist as this racist state that it now is?
Right. Well, let's be clear. The Palestine Solidarity Movement is firmly anti-racist. So we do dismiss Gilad's arguments and really don't want to get sidetracked onto them. You ask, I think Tony has... on the phone has actually answered the question about the state of Israel. We're more concerned about the support which is coming from within this country, from those with the power and the wealth to support Israel as it is, and the awful business that it's doing in the Middle East. All the time that Tony Blair was in charge of the Labour Party, he was encouraging anybody with any career aspirations to join Labour Friends of Israel, and they're all in position now, and that explains the struggle within the Labour Party. Now, as one example of the support that's going to Israel, Britain's got a rocketing arms trade of hundreds of millions of pounds a year with Israel, and some of the parts and the sniper rifles used to massacre the people in Gaza were possibly made in this country. So we've got to get on and increase the strength of the boycott campaign and try to do something about that within our political parties, within our communities. And the great thing is that, you know, we're very lucky here in Bristol that we see lots of examples in which really excellent solidarity can be built between us and the Palestinians, and to support them in their struggle against injustice.
Do you think these arguments about anti-Semitism get in the way?
They definitely, as I said at the beginning, we're firmly anti-racist, so we find Gilad's theories not fit for purpose.
But, I mean, you've quoted him as saying Hitler was right about the Jews. He didn't actually say that if you read it in context, did he?
Why would anybody write that in the first place?
Well, he's looking at a scenario in which the Israeli state does a massive attack on Iran, and people will then say, well, this Jewish state is actually, maybe there was some credence for the criticism of the Jews by the Nazis. So it's almost like they're bringing in attacks on themselves by being so racist in Israel.
Exactly the same argument would be levelled, saying this country are the European colonial powers because they were Christian, and it's a complete distraction. So I say we've got to get on and build solidarity with the people of Palestine in a non-racist way by building on the boycott campaign. And it worked with South Africa. It turned back the tide of a racism and apartheid in South Africa, and we can do the same with Palestine and Israel. Thank you.
I'll give the final word to you then, Eddie James from ARC. What do you make of what you've heard this evening, and also particularly about this idea of whether Israel has a right to exist, since it seems to be founded on this, at least now, not founded originally, but now it seems to get so much of its energy and effort from this attack on the Palestinians. And in fact, we've got the racist bill going through the Israeli parliament at the moment, saying that literally it's an apartheid bill, saying that the basic civil rights of all Palestinians will be zero.
No, I mean, the irony is that the speakers tonight actually are on the same side, and they all want justice for the Palestinians. So that's straight. And I totally agree with Ed Hill, and I certainly agree with some of what Gellar says and Tony Greenstein. But I would just pick up on Tony's view on, well, a two-state solution is dead because of the amount of genocide and land acquisition. So the thing is, by going for one state, all you'll do is guarantee that Israel will carry on as it is, and there'll be no stopping them. So I can't believe that anybody would not want a two-state as a temporary measure towards a one state. I mean, I agree that old countries should be based on equal rights for everybody, and I can't see that another 40 years of letting Israel off the hook and deciding whether they want one or two state is going to be beneficial, when another 50% of what the Palestinians have will be lost. There's no question about that. So I think Tony's got that wrong there. I don't think we should ever take our eye off the ball, and Ed Hill's 100% right. We got to stand up, be counted, and really, really fight for the Palestinian rights. And these dismissive, terrible people that are back in Israel, have they no compassion for the Palestinians? Are they that blind? Are they that inhuman? Because that's what's coming across to me anyway. have the right to exist? I would say, under the present circumstances, absolutely not. And I agree. And Gillard is absolutely right. There was things he said in this interview, but at the end he said he believes in a right of return. And that, for me, is what we should be talking about, the rights of the Palestinians. I'm not in a position to say what's best for the Palestinians, but I do know justice. I know United Nations. I know the universal rights of people, and the Palestinians qualify, tick every box.
So that was Eddie James, you heard there, from the ARC here in Bristol on Broad Street. You also heard Ed Hill, he's from the Palestine Solidarity Campaign here in Bristol. And you heard also from Brighton, Tony Greenstein, who's been ejected from the Labour Party, apparently for nothing to do with anti-Semitism, but for getting into rows about this issue. Nice to give him the opportunity to have his say this evening. And finally, from Gilad Atzmon, the musician himself and the author of several books, including The Wandering Who. So thank you very much, all of you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Well, that's all for this week. Dialects Bristol's first weekly podcast. You can download it to listen on your phone or in the car. Subscribe and listen the week before broadcast, if you like, at dialectradio.co.uk. Thanks to our guests discussing anti-Semitism, that is Ed Hill, Secretary of Palestine Solidarity Campaign in Bristol, Eddie James, who runs the ARC Bar on Broad Street, from London, Gilad Atzmon, the musician, and from Brighton, Tony Greenstein, who's been ejected from the Labour Party for anti-Semitism, but still doesn't agree with Gilad Atzmon on his definitions. The definition that's been discussed is the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance definition, which is accepted by some but not by others, because it includes criticism of the State of Israel as anti-Semitic. Thanks also to studio engineer, did a sterling job on those five of us all talking at once. That's Dave Bazenko. Dialects of Bristol Broadband Co-op production catches on Bristol Community FM 93.2 every Tuesday at noon, and anyone can contribute. Contact us at the People's Republic of Stokes Croft, just off Jamaica Street. They're online at prsc.org.uk. You can talk to PRSC Arts Centre at 0117 909 6897 or the China Shop on 944 4540. Volunteer with us if you like, or for hundreds of opportunities across Britain if you've got the time, via the National Volunteering website. That's do-it.org. Thanks for listening to Dialect, and I'm Tony Gosling, wishing you a very good week. I'll be back on Friday with my two-hour BCFM politics show, live from 6 till 8 p.m. Meanwhile, till the same time next week here on Dialect, goodbye for now.
We'll walk hand in hand. do believe that we'll work hand in hand one day. And we'll break down the prison walls. We will tear down those prison walls. Together we will tear down the prison walls on that day. Deep in my heart, I do believe that we will tear down.
That day.